appearing out of nowhere. So we have a handout coming around. I would ask that you don't look at it too much. We'll catch up to it. And another thing, just so you know, I am not left-handed, but I'm honoring the left-handed people that it stapled on the wrong side of the paper. I don't know why. If you ask me to do differential equations, I might could do that, some finance, but I can't run a copier, so please don't hold that against me. So, you know. Anyway, good to have everyone out tonight as we get started. Whenever the PowerPoints are ready, I'm not sure if it's ready. There we go. So we're going to continue our class on reaching the lost. We have started that this quarter. We are getting ready to sort of change gears a little bit tonight, but just to keep things in our mind from a broader perspective, we've talked about, it looks like the framing is a little bit different here, but when we're talking about reaching the lost, it is a process, it's not an event. Also, reframing rejection, so when you're rejected, if someone says no, it's not always a bad thing. Give it a little bit more time. You can learn from it. We also just finished with teaching. Remember, we had a lot of tracks and stuff that Brian gave to us, brought to our attention. So that's the lost approach to reaching the lost. So also, you have your, everybody have a handout? If you don't have a handout, get with Terry. I think we all have one. All right. We got one more here. Before we get going, though, let's have a prayer, please. All right, just Heavenly Father, and it is indeed a great time that we can gather together with those of like precious faith, that we can study how to reach out to be the light in the world. And our Heavenly Fathers, we talk about tonight of how to be accessible. Help us, our Heavenly Father, to understand that we can only be accessible because you were accessible to us. That you saw fit, God, to bring Jesus to this world and to illuminate this world by putting him on a cross for our sins. Help me, our Heavenly Father, as we go through, that I don't stand in the way of your word, that the things that are said, the things that we think will just encourage us and lift us up. To help us to be more like you and less like ourselves. Be with us, take care of us, and bless us, for it's in Christ's name. Amen. All right. I just want to say just a few things as we get going. Right now we're beginning, remember we started with the class sort of broad, as we talked about, and it's sort of trailing in. Some of this stuff may be a bit more first nature to you or natural, some of it may not be. So as we go through, just try to pick out the things that help you. And if you have comments, please make comments. And then that way, what we can do is learn from each other. So let's see here. So tonight we're going to talk about the sort of creating opportunities. We have two lessons on this. Tonight will be being accessible. And the second one will be this Sunday with a spiritual small talk and sort of sharing your story is what Brian's going to be covering as we continue to go through. The good thing about tonight is we're going to make it a little bit easier for you to reach the lost as opposed to knocking on doors. Guess what? We're going to go to where people are, make it a little bit easier. So instead of it being, you know, sort of a cold call, it's a bit more of a, what I would call a sort of a softer sell. With that being said, let's have a look at the chart. I hope you can sort of almost see that. I hope. It's about as big as I can get it. So you have this one, and you do not have this one, but I will be, or you do have this, but it's not going to be up on the overhead. So what I would like to do is just sort of go through this so we have a sense of what we're talking about here. I will say, I take no credit. It comes from Mr. J. Max Stiles. He wrote a book called Speaking of Jesus. This is on page 40 and 41. So all credit goes to him. So when we look at this, we should see three broad, columns, right? And those three columns, motivated, available, and equipped, are variables. What is the idea of those variables? It's for us to do a self-evaluation, and I highly, highly, highly recommend taking this home and evaluating yourself. We're not going to be able to evaluate ourselves within the context of tonight, but I would highly advise doing that. It will help. I've been looking at it for 2 weeks, and so I've been doing a lot of self-reflection, to tell you the truth. So with that being said, so we have motivated, available, equipped. So what does that mean? Motivated. What's inside you? What's sort of pushing you to talk about Christ? Speaking of Jesus. Number two, are you available? Are you accessible? Are you sort of putting yourself out there? Number three, equipped. If you are, what are you sharing? When you're speaking of Jesus, what are you sharing? Now, with that being said, when you look at those three items, then you can determine your diagnosis. That's how Mr. Stiles is sort of naming this. You will also see little negatives, a little minus sign and positive sign. So all that means is, instead of having 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, things of that nature, what you're going to have is a negative saying, I could do better than that. Or you could have a positive sign saying, I've been doing pretty good. I've been improving. I'm really working on that. So what happens is when you go and you evaluate, you find out what your diagnosis is from speaking of Jesus. So we'll go through these sort of quickly just to give us an idea. So if we're not motivated, so on the first one, if we're not motivated, we're not available, we're not putting ourselves out there, and we're not equipped with the Word of God, then we would be called sequestered. And I'm not going to go through every one of these, but on the back, it has what's in his book of what sequestered would be. So sequestered is, you're really not much interested in speaking of Jesus. If you find yourself in this situation, pray about it, study, ask the elders, ask the preachers, ask one of your friends here. The second sort of situation is, I don't find a lot of motivation, but I am out and about. I'm with people, but I'm not equipped. I don't know the Word of God like I want. If I share it, it's maybe a little squishy, you know. I just don't know what I want to say, and that's sort of apathetic. You just don't really care. You're out there, but you know, you're not motivated to share, and if you did, it wouldn't be much to share. The third would be what they would call academic. That's what Mr. Stiles would call it, academic. You're not really motivated, you're not really available, but you've been studying. You've been studying your Bible, and that's a good thing. But it's academic from the sense that you're sort of quasi like a monk. You sit in a monastery and you know a lot of stuff, but you're not out and about and you're not motivated to talk about it. The fourth one would be frustrated. You're motivated to go talk to people, but you're not out to talk. You're not putting yourself out there. And then if you were, you don't know much what to talk about. The fifth one, daunted. You're not really motivated, but you are out there and you have stuff to say. So you would find a little bit daunted there. I think I would highlight number six, isolated. So you are motivated. You are equipped. You've been studying. You want to go. You remember that lesson that Brian gave us? Boy, that's charging me up. I want to go out and do something, but I'm not putting myself out there. So I would be isolated. Seventh one, reckless. I want to go teach, and I'm out there and I'm teaching, and guess what? If you will do 16 push-ups, you're going to go to heaven. I'm not equipped. I don't know what to tell people. I know some stuff maybe, you know, but I don't know very much. And then finally, you're engaged. You are motivated. You are available. And you are equipped. Highly suggest you take that home and look at it. Now, with that being said, let's look at those three. Let's look at equipped. Now just think about this. Who equips you with the Word? I would have to say, number one should be God. Why? He's the one that gave us the Bible, right? Maybe we could debate, maybe the elders or the preachers or yourself, but if you were to go down that road, either you're number three or you're number two. Okay? So just remember that. God's number one. What about being motivated? Now, we talked in a prior class about being motivated. And what motivates us? Should be that God sent His Son, where? To the earth to die on a cross for our sins. That should motivate us. So you would have to think, well, God's probably number one there, but maybe internally we would want to push ourselves a little bit. Maybe the things that the preachers discuss, maybe the things that the elders, the programs. But available is a different story. God can't make you. He can, but He chooses not to, I should say. Get out of your house. Talk to other people. The elders can't make you do that. When you talk about being available, who is that? It's primarily you. So that's why, when you think about it, that's why we're spending time on being available. That's why we're spending time on being accessible to other people. Because there's some, you know, the equipping God, motivating God, but available has to be you. So that's why this was very interesting to me, because of the three things, the one thing that we're going to focus on is clearly being accessible. Okay? Now, another thing that we can sort of consider as we sort of transition off that is, if you're not accessible, so if you look in that middle column, available, where the negative signs are, if you would find yourself sequestered or academic or whatever, the question that we have to ask is, why might we be not as accessible as we'd want to be? Maybe you are to some degree, but why would you not want to be more so? So we're going to kind of go through that. So there would be, one would be, maybe it would be, you believe you need to sort of withdraw from sinners. Okay? I'm not putting myself out there because I'm not sure. I need to sort of hold back a little bit. Well, you may sort of think along these lines. Remember, Paul wrote Corinthians here, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Now, if we were to put a period there, guess what would happen? Don't associate with them. However, if we go on to verse 10, I did not at all mean with the sexually immoral people, what? Of this world. So what he's talking about here is really sort of church discipline. If it's the case that somebody in the body is doing things that they should not be doing, and the elders choose to mark them and discipline them, we're supposed to have a healthy distance between them. But if it's somebody outside in the world, we're supposed to go talk to them. Why? Because if you didn't read the last part, for then you would have to leave the world. How can you be in the world and not of the world if you're not in the world? That doesn't make a lot of sense. So with that being said, how would you also be able to go? Remember, Matthew said, go into all the nations. I can't go into all the nations. Why? Well, I'm not supposed to. Well, that doesn't make any sense. Talks about everybody of this world. I think when I was sort of looking through this, it just made me think, I'm glad Christ didn't withdraw from the likes of me. So a second thing that we can consider of why we're maybe not as accessible as we would like, believe that we are saved and don't really need to be associated with sinners. Now, the first one may be a perception of scriptures, sort of, you know, maybe a knowledge thing. The second one, I would say, could be an attitude. So let's check this out. And Jesus answered and said to them being the Pharisees. Remember, we were just a few verses prior to this, we're at the house of Levi, and they were going to have a party. And so the Pharisees said, Jesus, why are you going in there? Don't you know who this is? Don't you know who these people are? And he's saying, it is not those who are healthy who need a physician. but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners. So in this case, what Jesus is saying is, this is where I need to be. Now, can you imagine the conversations that go on with the tax collectors, the sinners of the day? I'm sure they're not talking about. So what scripture did you read this morning? What have you been praying about? How's your evangelistic efforts going? No, that's not what they're talking about. But Jesus knew this. Jesus knows all things. He knew what he was walking into. And the thing that I think about this is, but he is going to a place where he is needed. He's accessible to those on spiritual life support. If there's anybody that needed Jesus, it would be them. If there's anybody that needed Jesus, it's us. So I'm glad Jesus lowered himself to associate with people like me. So the third one, as we finish sort of this section, you might believe, I'm not too sure I need to be getting too close to sin. That's a risky business, getting close to sin. And it could be, that's true. So let's have a look here. I have not commanded you, or have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go, even when you're trying to reach the lost. If you stumble, guess what? God's there. He knows. If they say no, he's there. He knows. Ooh, I misquoted that scripture. He knows. But he's always there. He's always there to comfort us. And I sort of in my study came across Ecclesiastes, one who watches the wind will not sow. And one who looks at the clouds will not harvest. So what they're saying there is, I'll bet you tomorrow the wind's going to be better. It's going to rain today. I better wait till tomorrow. If you wait forever, you won't get anything done. So what we're saying is, take a risk. Take a risk. And so with that being said, I'm glad God took a risk on the likes of me. Now, that turns us to our first question here. So I sent this out. I hope you had an opportunity to have a look at this. How was Jesus accessible to the people of his day? How was he available? How did he interact with people? So we have mic runners. So if you would raise a hand, we have Jeff back here. How was Jesus accessible?
The first one that came to my mind was when Jesus met the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well, which we all know Jews did not associate with Samaritan women, and men didn't really associate with women in that capacity. So he was there, though, with her and engaged with her.
Okay, so the woman at the well, very good, exactly, because he was with a religion that he shouldn't be with, and he was with a gender he shouldn't be with in the social, fabric of that time. O'Brien, sorry.
Luke 4:16 says that when Jesus came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath. So he made it a habit every Saturday. Hey, these are where the Jews are. These are where people who are studying scriptures are. And the scriptures point to me, right? So I'm going to go there and make myself available.
That's a very good point. And could we sort of echo that for Paul? When he was on his missionary journeys, where did he go first? To the synagogue. There were people that knew about him that would probably be reasonably acceptable of him being there. Anybody else? Oh, sorry, Jenna.
Actually, even there was one time when Jesus was trying to, he was wanting to be by himself after the death of his cousin John the Baptist, and then people came and they found him, and instead of trying to hide from them and go away somewhere again, he had compassion on them, he healed them, he took care of them, even though he was really struggling emotionally at that point, he made himself available to the people because he had compassion for them.
That's right. He made himself available even when it was difficult. And we sort of talked about that. There's a sacrifice of sort of putting yourself out there. Okay, Will.
I don't know which scripture it's from, but the story where Jesus accepted a poor woman's service, where she used her hair for drying the perfume off his feet.
Yeah, with Martha, and so, yes, he was very acceptable. He could have said, "Oh no, we're not. No, I'm Jesus. You're not going to be doing that to me." One thing that I noticed when I was going through here was Matthew 9:35. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages. Think about that. There was no Ubers. There was no bus system. There was no cars. There was a lot of walking. And he was out all over. Another thing that I noticed is when, and that was the 9:35, Matthew 8 talks about when the guy that had leprosy, and what did he do? He touched him. He was that close. We have another one, Brian, here. So, microphone on the way.
Yeah, I think it was neat, too, how he made himself accessible in special ways to a smaller group. You know, sometimes he would meet with Peter, James, and John up on the Mount of Transfiguration, or, you know, just by themselves in a house or something like that. And even allowing the disciples to bring him aside and say, "Hey, please tell us what those parables meant." And then he would actually take that time to sit down and teach them in more detail. I thought that was really great.
So he was available to even smaller crowds, and it didn't take a lot of time, or he provided a lot of time for people. So there's a lot of ways, you know, that Jesus was accessible many times. He not only touched people, he looked at people with compassion. He talked with people, like Brian's talking about. If you're talking to people, you're not screaming at them across state lines. If you're touching people, you're close. If you're looking eye to eye with compassion, you're close. So you're putting yourself out there. So that sort of brings us to, how can we do that? How can you personally be more accessible, put yourself out there, more available to those around you to reach them, to build those relationships that you could perhaps teach them? This should be an easy one. Easy one. Oh, this was a hard one, evidently. I think Brian's got a hand going up slowly. Maybe. All right, yes.
Maybe say yes to more invitations. I understand some invitations are a little awkward. People from work maybe invite you to a bar and you're concerned they're going to get drunk or something, but maybe there's like a work softball league or something like that. And normally you'd be like, I don't know, this kind of takes a lot of my time and all, but that's just a good way to, even if it's simpler than that, even if it's just like a work get together, we're throwing a party for so-and-so because they're getting married or something like that. And you're saying yes to things more. And I know we have boundaries and we have to say no, right, with time and all that. We only have a limited amount of resources. But if you're always perceived as the person that says no to everything all the time, it's just, you're going to come across as not an accessible person, period.
And they won't ask after a time either. Any other? We have a Jeff and a Carrie Ann here. We'll go with Carrie Ann. Ladies first.
Thanks. I agree with what Brian said, and I thought, with that, if you have to say no, like if they say, "Hey, we're going out for drinks or something," you could say, "Well, that I'm not interested in that. But if you're ever going for coffee or whatever, let me know." Or even you initiate and say, "Hey, next Friday, why don't we go out for coffee after work?" Or something that would give you an invitation of a time to meet with them.
Yeah. So in other words, if it doesn't fit where you are morally, then for certainly say no, but don't close them down. You know, offer other things. Jeff.
I think we can just have a friendly disposition about us. If you've been in Publix, you know, in the past years, couple of years or so, you know, I know they've been coached to do this, but they ask you, what are you doing today? What do you got planned for the rest of the day? You got anything interesting the rest of the day? Just ask questions and be friendly.
So be friendly. Let's see, where was it? Is it at Texas Roadhouse? So when you go and they get you your silverware, and I think they give you those rolls, you know, where you eat those and you can't eat your meal. Been there, done that, guilty as charged. They will always say, hey, how's it going, Terry? How's your day been going? Oh, very good. Yeah, well, that's great to hear. You know, so they are friendly, they are open. And I think, you know, just that gentle demeanor means something. So, you know, just try to be friendly. Any other things that we can think of, sir?
Yeah, just want to rebound a little bit off of Brian's comment earlier, and actually this will come off of question number one too. I got to thinking about Jesus and his encounter with Nicodemus. Mm. That happened at night. My guess is that probably was not the most convenient time mm-hmm. to meet. And we need more of a willingness to be inconvenienced, to allow my life to be interrupted. If we are truly to be the aroma of Christ, that's what that means, is I'm going to be willing to, I'm giving myself to the Lord first and foremost, but then that's going to show in how I give myself to others, and that sometimes is going to interrupt my schedule and my agenda and all of my other plans, but we need to have more of a willingness to do that in order to be accessible.
Very good. In a prior class, we were talking about service and being sacrificial. If it costs you a little bit of money, that's okay. If it costs you a little bit of time, that's okay. If it costs you inconvenience, that's okay. It costed Christ his life. So it kind of sets, you know, the boundaries for us, if you will. Brian?
Yeah, maybe a couple, two suggestions here. One, you know, be the inviter, right? If maybe you know somebody from work or school or whatever context you're in, enjoys a specific activity or hobby or something, you could invite them along. Hey, you like golf? Like, hey, let's go to the driving range sometime. You know, so you become the inviter,
yeah.
Which shows them you're interested in them as a person. You're very accessible because you're actually giving them access immediately to you. There might be some things where you can meet strangers, like meetup.com. There might be people on Meetup where people who are into biking, they all get together and they go cycling. You might not know anybody there, and maybe that's scary, so maybe you can take somebody from church with you. So
yeah.
There's a few of us that, we didn't use Meetup for this, but we used the bowling alley for this. A few of us, me, Ryan, and Karen, you know, we would go bowling, we'd practice bowling. Well, we noticed they offered leagues, and so we're like, okay, well, let's try to sign up for a league, and I think Jessica's going to join us, you know, next season, so we'll have another, but that's super. Just been a neat way to meet people that I would just not normally ever meet without literally going and putting ourselves out there in that position.
Well, it's natural that way. Like, what are these creepy people hanging around the door at the bowling alley? Why are they there? No, you're over there bowling, so it's going to be natural. And I thought about you and the bowling and stuff. You can do all kinds of stuff. You know, your imagination is the limit for certain. So I came up with sort of a different angle on this, but it'll come back to the very similar things. So. Accessibility brainstorming. So talk to Christians you know, non-Christians you know. And I would like to start out, I'll have to give Dave Weaver credit for this. We were talking last night in an elders meeting. When we talk about non-Christians you know, I think we've been sort of shaping it from a coworker, a next door neighbor, or whoever it would be. But you know, one thing that we can always do is we already have a natural relationship with those in our family. And those people should be very near and dear to us. So it would be natural to talk to them. Perhaps you've already done that. That's okay. But I see it sort of as, you know, going back to what eighth grade math's concentric circles, you know, start with those near and dear, family, friends, coworkers, et cetera, and it should be a little bit more natural. Anything that you do when you're trying to reach the lost in all the things that we've talked about. And when you're doing that, I mean, I mean, everybody has their way of doing it, that's for certain, but I would say pray about you being accessible, that you're available to people. I would say make a list of who you know. You can get on the internet. Our brother Mark Roberts talked about making use of Facebook and Twitter and all that kind of stuff. Make use of that. People use it for all kinds of wrong, sinful things. Make use of that technology for God's good. Okay? Make use of it. I think another thing that we can sort of consider is, the example I would have is, we have a baptistry. Do you think it's full or empty? What do you think? Full or empty? What would you guess? Full. Why? Do you know someone's going to be baptized? No, you don't. But you want to be prepared. So when you go to ask somebody, hey, let's go do something, let's go talk, or let's, you know, play golf or whatever, be prepared. Be prepared. Think about what's going on in their life. You know, what are the things that are their preferences? What's their time frames? If they're working all night, they probably don't want to meet for breakfast. They want to go to bed. So be aware of who they are and what they're doing. Locale, is it close? You're driving 5 minutes and they're driving 5 hours? I don't think that's going to last very long. Is it conducive? Is it conducive? Susan and I went over to see Stephen and Savannah, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. I can't remember how long. And we got there and we were hungry. So we stopped at Fuzzy's Tacos. I can't remember if the tacos were any good, but I can tell you what, the music was so loud. I was like, I can't taste, I can't hear, I can't see, I can't think. Now, sometimes I don't need loud music not to think per se, but that didn't help. So if you say, hey, you know, Carrie-Anne, let's go down to the Fuzzy's Taco. We're going to talk about, that's all you're going to see. It's going to be like a mine because you won't hear. So just be, you know, have that in your mind. Also, I have a couple places in your mind. Some, if you're going to invite me, Mexican, I'll go Mexican every single meal. I'll Mexican. But some people don't like that. I don't know why, but they don't. Maybe they're breakfast people, IHOPers, you know, or something like that. Maybe they like Italian. Maybe, you know, whatever. So just have a few things in your mind. I think pray for them. Remember, Brian early on talked about prayer. Why? Because you're putting it in God's hands when you pray. He'll help you. He's always there. I think another thing is when you pray about being accessible, pray about yourself. In other words, that you would be strong and courageous. You'd be bold, you'd be comfortable, you'd be confident, and you would have an opportunity to discuss God. Pray that that happens. And if not, you can create a way that that can happen. And if you ask them and they agree to meet, all the better. Just take it from there, and we'll talk about different things as we go through the rest of the class. But if they reject you, just remember what Brian was talking about in reframing rejection. It's not like, oh, everything's lost. Be patient. You never know where they are. Things may be going on in their life that we can't explain, that we can't know, that they haven't told us. Now, I think another thing that we can consider is non-Christians you used to know. Non-Christians you used to know. Now, I think there's a few considerations here, a little bit different. Certainly pray, but pray about connecting with them in general. I'm not talking about somebody you knew a few months ago or 6 months ago. I'm talking about somebody you knew 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. No one's older than that in this room, so I won't go any further. So when you're thinking about that, how am I going to get in touch with these people? You know, I think another thing is, if it's been quite some time, pray that their hearts are not hard, that there will be fertile ground, that when you talk to them, they will be receptive, their ears will be open, their minds will be open, that they won't just shut you down. If they do, yes, it's rejection, reframe it, but pray that will be, that they will say, oh, okay, well, that's interesting. You know, that they won't just say, I don't talk about that. I don't believe in Jesus. I don't want to hear anything about that. Pray that that doesn't happen. I think the same, how would you say, the same process would be this would work for non-Christians? You used to know them. But I would say with sort of the caveat of this, the caveat that you may not remember that they like Mexican. You may not remember that they like bowling. You may not remember that they love to read. You may not remember all these kind of stuff, you know, all these things. But I would say this, that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. Still have some things in your pocket. Like when you start to talk to them or ask them, hey, how's it going? Man, I haven't caught up with you in a long time. How's it going? I remember when we used to ride bikes or we played flag football or, you know, we were in 4-H or whatever your circumstance is. You'll have some commonality because you'll remember. But you may not remember everything. Don't worry. Still go through the same thing. Be aware. Be flexible. But don't have anything. Don't be where you have nothing, because what you don't want is say, well, we'll catch up next time. You don't want that per se. You want to catch up with them, right? I think there's another thing that we can also get out of this. Other considerations that we, particularly with non-Christians, you sort of used to know. Depending on how you separate it, if you catch up with somebody, isn't that pretty cool? Somebody took the time to catch up with you. Like we went to see my friend Scott, was it last summer. And I've known him since, I was like in sixth grade. And so, you know, I think he liked that. Yeah, you can come stay at our house. And he was very excited about that. So if you're trying to catch up with somebody, I hadn't seen him since 2014, I think. Is that about, it's been a while. So anyway, with all that being said, that's pretty impressive if someone wants to get in touch with you after a long time. So that's how they're going to feel. I think another thing is it's sort of natural to talk about, hey, what have you guys been doing? Oh, I've been doing this, been doing that. Oh, well, yeah, we go to church. Oh, man, I love that. You know, it's been really, just gives me a peace that I just can't get otherwise. It's a natural segue. I will say this, if you're married, and you coincidentally, this other person may be the opposite gender, I'm not saying don't go see them, but I'm saying definitely take your spouse. And if that person is married, make sure they bring their spouse. Okay, so we want to avoid any kind of issues right up front, and we don't want to make people think any other kind of thoughts. It needs to be pure, friendly, you know, cordial, casual, you know. I think another thing is, maybe a non-Christian that you used to know is an old flame. It was Betty, you know, she's pretty good looking. I remember, yeah, you haven't seen her yet, but you know, or I remember Tom, man, I remember he's down at the weight room a lot. He's big, you know, handsome guy or whatever. So what we want to do is, I'm not going to say don't do that, but I'm going to say you got to be very, very careful, because if you contact an old flame, they may have, their thoughts may be going one way where your thoughts are going the other way. If you're most certainly married and you choose to do that, absolutely bring your spouse. And if he or she has a spouse, you know. So let's see here. So those are some things to consider there. Now, as we have just a few more minutes, non-Christians you don't know. They could be anybody. I really appreciate Dave, you saying that, you know, family, friends. It could be anybody. Don't think it has to be somebody, you know, far, you know. It could be somebody near, near and dear to you. Could be the mailman. If you go and see them, if you're going to get the mail and you run into them a lot, the mailman, the trash collector. I remember when I was 3 years old, I gave the trash guy a Christmas present. It put tears in the guy's eye. Who gives the trash collector presents? Nobody, but it means a million. Your barber, your stylist, whatever, whoever it would be. Other opportunities, just like we're talking about, bowling, could be greeting visitors, flag football, crafts groups, volunteer work. And I would say this with just a few minutes left. If you have someone into your home or you're going to go out, just be aware of potential that they may partake of alcohol or they may smoke. The reason I say that is just have in your mind, if they offer you, hey, would you like some Chardonnay, rose, or, oh, thank you very much. I appreciate your thoughtfulness, but I would prefer tea, or I prefer whatever. Just have that in your mind. Why? Because when they ask that question, it will be very awkward. Like if you're going to come to, if, like on Sunday, what are you going to do? You're going to, Lord willing, you're going to come to church. Already have your answers in your mind. So I've been shut down by the bell. Thank you very much for your comments. We will pick up, Lord willing, on Sunday with Brian and let's see here, spiritual small talk and the power of sharing your story. Thanks so much.